If I can invite you to remain standing for our scripture reading, which comes this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." King Herod heard this. He was troubled. And everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me, so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I could invite you to be seated, please. You're being seated, and before we begin, there's a brief video clip of the Magi explaining and sharing their experience.
He served as the pathway to wisdom and knowledge. Some have called us wise men. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The king used us like puppets to carry out his devious plans. Yet in the midst of our blindness, God gave us a beacon of light, a heavenly compass that pointed us towards an incomparable gift containing the depths of God's riches. To think that we brought him gifts seems so laughable now. He was the gift to us.
He was the reassurance that God could still use anyone. As an innkeeper, I had welcomed many weary travelers before, but none as tired as that young couple, with no room to offer, I was ready to send them on.
All right, so this morning we're continuing our sermon series, Away from the Manger, as we're looking back at those individuals who played a part in the Christmas story, not necessarily in the logistics of the story happening, but people who played a part in the story of revealing to the world who the baby born in Bethlehem was. And so last week in our sermon, we took time to look at a man who in history is known as Herod the Great. Although in my first trip to Israel, our guide often called him Herod the Crazy. And so last week we remembered Herod, his 40 years of rule, and we looked at his reaction of the news that the newborn king of the Jews had been born. We saw how in Herod's reaction he offered proof to us that the birth of Jesus was an event that did happen and that it was viewed as a serious thing, not just by him, but also by all of Jerusalem, who feared losing their power because of the coming of Jesus. This morning I want to invite you to think about some individuals in the Christmas story whose participation in the story is intertwined with King Herod's. Those individuals are the Magi, who were an unnamed, unspecified, uncounted group who came from afar following a star that led them to the infant Jesus. This Sunday, as we think about the Magi, I want to ask the questions, who were they? How did they help point the world to who Jesus was? And how can their experience impact and guide our faith journey today? So who were these people? These Magi, these wise men, these three kings. In the scriptures, Matthew is the only gospel that even talks about them. Matthew chapter 2. Beyond what Matthew writes, we fill in the gaps with tradition that's been passed on through the generations of who they were, of where they came from, and the other details that you and I might know about them. Matthew specifically calls them the Magi, not three kings, or the Magoi, Depending on your translation of the Bible, they could have been magicians or Magians who were a priestly caste from Persia, which is modern-day Iran, who were followers of the Zoroastrian religion. Some scholars don't call them magi at all. In fact, they refer to them as astrologers. Because in biblical times, those people who were from the East were known to follow astrology. And they believed that the stars would be indicators of things that were happening on Earth, or that even events in the cosmos and in outer space would cause events to happen on the Earth. Ancient clay tablets have been found that show that the ancient Babylonians and the ancient Assyrians practiced astrology, and that was part of their belief system and how they believed the Earth worked and the world worked, and how the divine, in whatever form it was found, impacted the affairs of the world. As to which land the Magi from the East came, we don't really know. All we know, as Matthew says, is they came from the East. Some believe it was Arabia, some Persia, some Mesopotamia. And as I was researching this past week, I found some that even think that they might have been from Parthia, which Parthia is an interesting perspective. Historically, if you look at the Parthians, these are the people, this is the nation, country that was a rival of Rome. And in fact, part of the reason King Herod was kept in place for so long in his rule was because he was an effective buffer between the Roman Empire and the Parthians. And so if you think about it, the Parthians traveling through Roman-controlled territory would have been an extreme risk for them to come and find the infant Jesus. For them to appear before Herod would have been an extreme risk. Because if Herod was truly needing to offer something to the Romans, wouldn't it have been ideal for him to arrest the Magi? To question them, to hold them, waiting and to hear from the Romans what he should do with them? I mean, he could have just held them to demonstrate loyalty to Rome. We know that they brought gifts of gold and of myrrh and of frankincense. Each of these gifts historically has had a significance in the meaning and presentation of them. Gold signifies the royalty of Jesus. For objects of gold in ancient times were not objects that normal people would wear. They were the things that kings would wear, and they were the pieces and objects that were used in palaces. And they were worn by royalty. Frankincense was a perfume that was used only in the temple of Jerusalem as a sacrifice to God. We remember in the Day of Atonement, which is the Old Testament belief that one day a year the priest would go in, one priest, and they would offer a sacrifice first for themselves and then for the people, and then one of the priests would go into the Holy of Holies where he would offer a gift of incense to God. That incense that he offered was frankincense. It was rare, it was costly, it was expensive. And then myrrh. Myrrh was an oil that was used to anoint the kings on their coronation. Interestingly enough, I found in some research that the children, the infant sons of the high priest in Jerusalem when they were born, were also anointed with myrrh to mark them, to set them aside for their future work and role as the high priest of Israel. And so by Jesus receiving all three of these gifts at His birth, we're shown that Jesus is more than all of the high priests and the frankincense and the myrrh, all the kings, and everyone else in power. The Magi showed us that Jesus is the Son of God, who was born in humility in a manger in Bethlehem. Some believe that the items the Magi brought to Jesus were the very items that next week, when we look at Joseph, I think it's next week. It's either next week or the week after. When we talk about Joseph, that those gifts that the Magi brought are the very gifts that enabled Joseph to take the infant Jesus and flee to Egypt when Herod sent out his decree and sent out the soldiers to Bethlehem to slaughter all the boys under the age of 2. And what about the number of them? We all know it's three. We three kings from Orient are, right? Tradition says that there's three. This is probably because of the gifts. Over time, the Magi have been given names. They've been given countries that they originated from. The names traditionally are Gaspar, who brought the gold, who was from India, Melchior, who was from Persia and brought the myrrh, and Balthazar, who was from Arabia and brought the frankincense. If you look, there are numerous other stories. There are numerous other traditions associated with them. There's a book that was recently released called The Revelation of the Magi, where a scholar has translated an ancient document found in the Vatican archives that tells the story of Jesus and how the Magi traveled there and how God protected them, how God guided them, how God provided for them on the journey to where none of their animals were hurt, none of the people were hurt, they never ran out of food. And interestingly enough, the book ends with the Apostle Thomas appearing before the Magi and commissioning them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ among their people. You know, I share this with you because we really don't know a lot about them. We know that they were Gentiles. We know that they followed a star or another signal in the sky. We know that they appeared before King Herod in Jerusalem. And we know that they worshipped the newborn king as he lay in a manger. And we know from Matthew's gospel that they were warned in a dream after they worshipped Jesus to not return to Jerusalem and to return to their homeland by another way. And that's it. That's what we know about them. But what can this they help us to see this morning? They can help us to see that something special was happening in Bethlehem. That the baby being born was someone who was supposed to be noticed. That the king who was born in Bethlehem was someone and something who would change the world even as he lay in the most humble of surroundings. The birth of Jesus was announced to the world not by balloons on a bedside table, not by a video on the internet or a royal pronouncement by a herald, but the birth of Jesus was projected into the stars by God. And so for those who were looking for a newborn king, they were able to see the announcement in the sky. And they were able to make the journey to worship him. See, the Magi reinforced to us the message that Paul preaches throughout his letters and teaches to all of the churches that he started, is that God sent Jesus Christ for all people. We can't read the story of the Magi without seeing and realizing that it's in the Magi that we see God first demonstrating His plan with Jesus to expand the scope of salvation beyond the Jewish people and offering salvation to all people. God picked in the Magi the least likely of people. A man from Persia, if tradition says, another from India and another from Arabia. But no matter where they're from, God picked these Gentiles who traveled from far, far away, who went at risk and in possible peril to discover the newborn king, the one who was anticipated to be the king of the Jews. But yet in their worship of him and in his ministry later, he revealed himself to be the one who came for all people. See, in the Magi, God shows us that Jesus was sent for everyone, for you, for me, and for a world that needs salvation and a world that needs hope. In the Magi, God shows us what it means to be someone who comes and who encounters the risen, or who encounters Jesus and has their life changed because of their belief. See, they came, didn't they? They believed in what was happening. They appeared before Herod. They asked him where they were to go, and Herod summoned all of the elders of Jerusalem and told them where to go, as he said, in Bethlehem. And so they went. And instead of returning to Herod in Jerusalem, they went home on a different path. Because in their encounter with Jesus, they couldn't go back on the path that they had come. Whether that's in their life, whether that's a physical return, it was a path that they were then placed on, that led to life, a path that proclaimed home, a path that they were placed on by their new belief in Jesus Christ. Herod invited them to return home on the same way and through the same streets. But their encounter with Jesus led them on a different way. And so the Magi show us that we can't just encounter Jesus and experience all of the things that He offers us without being transformed, without being placed on a different path, without going a different way into the new life that God offers us through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, the Magi remind us that God came for all people and that God invites us to have our lives changed each time we encounter Him so that we don't return to the things that we've been doing or the places that we've been, but so that we can move forward on the path that He's placed us. As we've experienced hope, as we've experienced change, and as we've encountered the One who was sent out of God's love for us, Jesus Christ. The Magi show us what it means to live a life transformed. And their witness allows us to see how our lives can be changed by encountering Jesus Christ in our life. Amen.